Begin the current daf, Maseftes Bava Metzia, daf Chaf Aleph. Begin 14 lines down from the top of the Amud. We would continue with the new parak, the second parak in Maseftes Bava Metzia, parak Elu Metzias, which continues in the theme of the first parak, discussing the halachas of regarding when someone finds an object. Now, our Mishnah begins this parak discussing the obligations of the one who finds it regarding how to go ahead and return it, regarding when do you return it or when can you keep it. Even when you return it, how can you identify whose it is and to allow yourself to return it, even if you don't want to keep it, because it might be someone else's, which are related to the halachas of simanim, and primarily regarding the identifying feature that somebody has, then you know who to return it to. And moreover, if he has a siman, then he's not going to give up hope, which is called yish, because if he is miyash, as we'll see in the halachas of our Mishnah, then he's going to give up hope, and then it becomes hefker, and then the one who finds it can actually keep it. So the Mishnah begins, Elu mitziyah shaloi, ve'elu chayav lahachris. There are certain types, which we're going to discuss in our Mishnah, and then in the next Mishnah, regarding certain things that if a person finds, he can keep it, whereas there are certain things that he's obligated to announce them and say, I found something, so that someone could produce his simen, and then go ahead and get back what's rightfully his. So the Mishnah explains, elu mitziyah shaloi. So our Mishnah tells us regarding these things that a person finds, he could keep for himself, mentions 10 items. Matza peiris mefuzaren. If somebody finds produce that's scattered on the floor, where, as we'll see in the Gemara, the owner had already given up hope of it. And therefore, if he's meyayish, he gives up hope of ever getting back his thing, so then it becomes hefker. And if it's hefker, so it's an ownerless thing, whoever finds it could take it, finders keepers. Second is mois mefuzars. If he finds scattered coins, scattered money. Now, since there is no identifying feature that's recognizable in coins itself, so again, he gives up hope of ever saying, well, I lost 50 cents. How am I going to prove that those two quarters are mine? So they're hefker. And as Rashi points out, that's really the reason of all these cases in our Mishnah, where since he's meyayish, where either that he doesn't have a simon, or even if it did, he wouldn't be able to work, it would get ruined. Whatever it is, there's no identifying feature, and therefore he gives up hope. And if he gives up hope, then it's hefker, and that's why the one who finds it could keep it for himself. So the third case is kriches, which are small little sheaves, bundles of the grain, of stalks, that are found b'shusarab in the public domain, where everyone steps and walks and whatever is there in the street. So therefore, even if there was an identifying feature in how he tied the bundle together, it would have been destroyed by people stepping on it. So again, he's going to be miyayish, because he doesn't have a sim, because although maybe he had one, not anymore, because it definitely got stepped on by everybody else. So again, there's no simon, so he's miyayish, he gives up hope, and therefore becomes hefker. Fourth case is v'igule dvelo, or round cakes of pressed figs. Again, that's how everyone had their figs in those days, and there's no identifying feature to prove that it's yours. Prove to me, I found pressed figs, and the guy said, oh, those are mine. How are you supposed to prove it? There's no way of proving it, and therefore, it's the one who finds it could keep it, because the guy who really owned it gave up hope already. Fifth one is kikar shel nachtem, which are loaves that are baked by the baker, where the baker makes all the loaves the same. Now, that's in contrast, as we'll see in a later halacha, by loaves of bread by a homeowner, where there is an identifying feature because people bake things differently as individuals. The sixth one is machreja shel dogim, strings of fish. That's how they used to sell fish, on strings. And again, that's just how everyone would have it. Vechaticha shel basar, pieces of meat. Again, everyone has pieces of meat. Vegizi tzemer halakuchen mimidinasan, or shearings of wool that are purchased from the countryside, from the country, meaning as they were sheared from the animal, which is the same as everyone in the Medina. Meaning that comes to exclude, as we'll learn in the Seifa of this Mishnah, which is really the Mishnah on Chaf Hayam and Aleph, which is if it came from a craftsman, then already the wool was already processed and everyone does it differently, then you'd be able to, you would have to call it out because then the person would have an identifying feature to it. And the ninth one is Vanitze Pishtin, and bundles of flax, which Rashi says it's Rishta Balaz, which is bundles of flax that already were spun, were already carded, are ready to be turned into linen. That again, everyone would have these types of bundles of flax. Therefore, there's no identifying feature. And finally, Ulashayna Shel Argamon, and tongues of purple wool. The reason why it's called a tongue is because it was combed and elongated like a tongue. And it was dyed purple, and again, it's very common people to have that, so there's no identifying feature for the person. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Re'elu Shaloi Divrei Meir. So Meir says, whoever finds these 10 types of items, which again, share the common characteristic that there's no simon to it, therefore the owner says, how am I ever going to get this back? and he gives up hope, which essentially makes him to hefker. When the guy finds it now, he's essentially finding something of hefker, and he can keep it for himself. Now, Rabbi Huda, he says, kol sheyesh bo yishinui. However, anything that has something unusual about it, chayv lahachris, then it does require that the one who finds it has to announce it for the one who owns it to come and claim it. Kate said, what would that case be talking about? So, for example, let's say matzah eagle. One of the cases mentioned by Rabbi Meir was a round cake of pressed figs. So, on that says Rabbi Huda, let's say ubetechecheres. Let's say the one who finds it finds that inside there was a piece of pottery. So, something unusual about this. So the one, he would have to call it out, because then the guy who lost it could identify it by the piece of pottery inside of it. Or let's say kikar, which is one of the cases we said a loaf of bread from the baker. Everyone has the same loaves. Paru b'teichem mois. Inside was money. So this is something different. He'll announce, I found a loaf. The guy could say, and there was money inside. So then you have to announce it. Shimon Lazar, he concludes the Mishnah. He says, kol klei ampurya, which the Gemara is going to explain later on Daf Chav Gimel Beis, what is that referred to? He says, "Ein chayav lahachris, such a type of a vessel, you don't have to announce because there's no way of bringing a proof that it's the person who lost it." So now the Gemara explains the first of the 10 cases that our Mishnah said, "Hare ilu shalai," that the one who finds it could keep it. First case was matzah peiris mefuzarin. Somebody finds scattered produce on the floor, so the one who finds it could keep it. On that, the Gemara asks, "Vekama." Now, how much is considered scattered? What is that measurement? So Amr Yitzchok explains, it's a measurement of kav, which is approximately the volume of between 1.5 quarts to 2.65 of amount of volume, but arba amis, an area of 4 amis, which is an amis between 18 to 24 inches, times 4, that's the area that it was spread out in. Now, however, if let's say it was spread out in an area of 3 amis, then it wouldn't be considered scattered. Scattered is only when it's spread out to an area of 4 amas, as the Gemara later on will explain what's the reasoning behind this halacha. But first the Gemara has hechidami, which will explain this halacha. If the scattered produce was found, derech nefila, the way it looks like as if it fell from somebody, almost looked like someone had a shopping bag and there was a hole in it and it dropped down. So obviously you could tell that this person didn't put it there intentionally, rather that it fell from him. And that has the Gemara with an afila tuva. Then even more than a kav, nami should also be that since there's no identifying feature, meaning because obviously we see that it fell from him and it got lost, so most definitely that he gave up hope, because like all the other cases of Mishnah, if he has no identifying feature, then he's going to give up hope. So why do we say only if it's a kav in Dalaramas, even a 10 kav, 100 kav? The guy doesn't know where it fell. He has no way of getting it back. And waiting for someone to call it up, no one's going to call it up because he has no simon. So why do we say only a kav in Dalaramas? Now, v'ider chinuach, and if it was placed down over there, well, then afil abatzimahachi, then even less than a kav in Dalaramas, namiloi, should also not be allowed to be kept by the person, because the guy's going to come back and take it because he knows where he put it. So why is this measurement of kav v'dalet amis the criterion of saying whoever finds it can keep it? Maman afshach. Either way you look at it. If it fell, it should be even more than a kav the guy should keep. And if it was put down, then even less than a kav. Let's say a quarter of a kav. Who cares? And even if it's an area of dalet amis, the guy knows I put it there. So it rolled around a little bit, scattered a little bit. What's the difference? He's not miyayish. So now the Gemara says, Amr Ukva Bar Chamam. He explains that it's not as we would assume what this case is talking about, as if it just fell and is just scattered on the floor. It's actually talking about Machnashtu de Beidoriaskin. We're talking about in the gathering house of the place of the winnowing, meaning the place where they thresh and they produce the produce, because it's the time of the gathering of the grain to the silo. Now, over here is where the owner threshed his produce, and then he took the primary bulk of his produce and he left this amount of a kav in the area of Dalet Amos. So that's what the Gemara explains the halacha is, that kav ba'arba amos, a volume of that amount in an area of 4 amos, denufish terchayu, where there's a lot of effort to go ahead and gather it. It's not that much grain in the larger, it's a pretty significant amount of area, Dalet Amos. So since it's an effort to gather it, loy tarachin, there's a person's not going to go through the effort. And therefore he's not coming back to go ahead and take it. So rather, it's obvious that he was mafkir and he declared ownerless. Now, however, the reason why the measurement given for this by Rabbi Yitzchok was a kav b'dalet ames, because if, let's say, we spread out an area less than dalet ames, let's say only 3 ames, okay, so tarach v'hadar asi v'shakalu, so he'll go through the effort, he'll come back, and he'll take it, v'loy mafkali, he's not going to be mafkali, because, okay, you know, it's still something significant, it's not spread out in such a large area, then he's going to come back for it. So that's why it comes out for the halach of kav b'dalet ames. It's not so much, and it's in a significant area where the effort is like, forget it. It's not worth the effort to go there. And if it's mafkir, that's why the halacha is when you find peres mebazar, and again in b'machnash beidari in the winnowing house, there where the guy intentionally left it there, we know that he gave up because no one's coming back to collect that amount in that area of space. Now, regarding this halacha, Boyer Bimi asks 4 questions that essentially hinge on one question regarding this halacha of peres mebazar. He asks as follows: Chatzi kav b'shtei ames mahu. What's halacha if, let's say, the guy finds in the winnowing house half a kav in only 2 ames, meaning the same ratio in half? Now, Tosa actually asks that he wonders what's the Gemara's question. A kav in 4 ames is also a half a kav in 2 ames. So, what was the question? If we said a kav b'dalet ames harel shaloi, so then half of that and half of that, which is essentially what you have 2 times of that in the kav b'dalet ames, should be harel shaloi. So that's the Taisa's 2 answers. No, he says, because since there's only a half a kav, a guy will go back and gather them because it's not such a big effort to conclude collecting a half a kav. But when there's a kav in dalet ames, there's an effort because the person feels the pressure to collect all of it. And then he's not going to go back to collect even half of it, meaning half of it is really the same as half a kav in 2 ames. But since he would have to go for the whole thing, I'm not interested in collecting from 4 ames. I'll go back for half and half, but I'm not going to go back for all and more. Or another approach Tais actually has is that the case of kav b'dalet ames is tomat that it's dalet ames squared. So essentially, a half a kav in 2 ames width will still be 4 ames in the length. But here we're asking a case, says Tais, in a half a kav in 2 ames squared. So that's less, and therefore you could have the Gemara's following question. What's the Gemara's question? So the Gemara explains, kav ba'arba ames time am I. What is the reason? And this is going to be the principle that we're going to discuss in these next 4 questions. What's the reason primarily why a kav and dalet ames, we say that it's hefker and the one who finds it can keep it? Is it mishum de nafesh tirchayu? Because it's a large effort to go through collecting in 4 ames area. Whereas chatzi kav b'shtei ames, but a half a kav and only 2 ames, kiven de nafesh tirchayu, it's not such a great effort, it's not such a large area, it's half that amount of area, it's only 2 ames, lay mafkalu, and therefore the person would not be mafkar and they would come back for it. Or maybe the other side of the coin. No, maybe the reason why the guy doesn't come back for kav b'dalet ames is primarily mishum de lechashivi, because it's not significant for him just a kav of produce to go through the effort to gather it in the area of 4 ames. But that's predominantly the reason. And therefore, v'chatzi kav b'shtei ames, so only a half a kav and 2 ames, kivin de lechashivi, since that's for sure not significant, so mafkalu, and they would be mafkrit. So that's really the question regarding what's the primary feature. Is it the area, or is it the kav itself? Is it because it's not so significant, so for sure a half a kav is not significant? Or is it because about the tircha of 4 ames, but you don't have such a tircha by 2 ames? That's one question. The same question in the other direction is kavayim b'shmoina ames ma'u. What's halacha? Double that ratio, which is to the same ratio but in double, meaning 2 kav in the area of 8 ames. The Gemara explains the question again. Kav ba'aba ames, time am I? What's the reason by kav in 4 ames? Is it mishum de nafesh terchayu? Is it because the guy doesn't want to collect, even though it's a kav, something significant, but it's a dalet ames, so it's such an effort. So v'kol shekein kavayim b'shmoina ames, so definitely 2 kav in 8 ames, kiven de nafesh terchayu tvei, since it's way more of an effort, a double the amount of area to collect from, so mafkalu, so he'll be mafkrit. Or maybe they know. Maybe the primary reason is mishum dulei chashivi. A kav is not so significant, but v'kavai mishum ein ames, but 2 kav in 8 ames, kiven de chashivi, since that's already a significant amount of produce, loy mafkalu. Maybe he's not gonna be mafkarid. So that's question number 2. Question number 3 is a kav shum shemin ba'arba ames mahu. What's the halacha of a kav, same measurement, but of sesame seeds in 4 ames? Now, sesame seeds are very small, and there's a very challenging effort in gathering them much more than wheat, but they're more expensive than wheat. So the question is as follows, same idea. Kav ba'aba ames time amai. What's the reason that we say the one that finds it can keep it when it's a kav and dalet ames from the threshing house? Is it mishum dulei chashivi? Is it because wheat of a kav is not so significant? But v'shumshim and kibin dechashivi, but sesame seeds, which are more significant, loy mafklu, he's not going to be mafkir. I deal more maybe the other way. The primary reason why the guy doesn't come back for his kav of chidin is because it's such an effort to collect it from four amas. Now, so for sure, by sesame seeds, which is way more of a difficulty in that same amount of area because they're so tiny, so mafkalu, so he would be mafkrit. Question number four. Same thing in the reverse. Kav tamri ba'arba amas, a kav of dates in an area of four amas, or kav rimayni ba'arba amas, or a kav of pomegranates in four amas, ma, what's alacha? Because they're very large, and it's not an effort, it's not such a tircha to gather them together. So the same question. Kav ba'arba amas time in mind. What's the reason of a kav in four amas? Is it mishum d'lechashivi? Is it because the grain is not so significant? Now, kav tamri ba'arba amas, a kav of dates in four amas, and kav remayni ba'arba amas nami, and the kav of pomegranates in four amas also, kivin d'lechashivi, mafkalu, since they're also not so significant, not more than wheat, so therefore he's going to be mafkrit. Or is the reason because of the great effort that it takes to gather little pieces of wheat, of the grains, in an area of four amas? But a kav tamri ba'arba amas, but a kav of dates in four amas. The kav remayni ba'arba amas and the kav of pomegranates in four amas. Kim d'loy nafesh terchayu, since it's not such an effort to go out and gather them, because they're larger, loy mafkul, therefore he's not going to be mafkur. My, what's the halacha, says the Gemara, take or let it stand regarding these four questions. It's not clear what's the predominant feature of the kav ba'arba amas equation, why a person's not going to go back, because ultimately these two variables, and it's not clear to for this hypothesis which one stands out predominantly regarding is it the effort or is it regarding because it's not so significant. Because once we would figure out that feature, we would know the answer to these four questions regarding the halacha in these four cases. But since it's not clear, take a let it stand, it's not clear regarding if this would be considered hefker, so that harei shaloi, or not. Now, Itma, we learned the following machlokes, and this is regarding the primary halacha of our Mishnah, which we're discussing here, which is when one of the prereqs for this generally is if there's a siman or not. But if there is no siman and the person's meyayish, then we said, like in these 10 cases, the guy's meyayish, it's hefker, so the person can take it. So as we continue to Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Yiyush shaloi midas. Regarding a situation of a guy gives up hope without his awareness. Now, what that means to say is, it's something that generally a person would give up hope. Meaning, when he would find out that it fell from him, and he would give up hope. Now, when the guy who finds it, however, the original owner didn't know yet that it fell from him. But had he known, he would have been meyayish. That's what's called yishalei medas. Unknowing giving up hope. He really would, but he just doesn't know. So it's machlekes. Abai says, that's not yish. The guy doesn't know. He didn't give up hope. Whereas Verava ama have a yish, but Rava says it is considered yish. And the Gemara later on is going to explain the fundamental principle that they're disagreeing about. But first the Gemara explains the criterion of their machlekes. B'davish yish be simen, regarding something that has a simen, so says the Gemara, kulam le pligi, no one would disagree, to loy have a yish, that it's not going to be considered yish, because he has a simen. He has a simen that he doesn't know about it, but when he finds out, he most definitely would not give up hope because he has an identifying feature. Moreover, says the Gemara, and even if, after the one who found it, a few days later, after he found it, he overhears a guy in shul saying, oh, you know, how do we know the guy's miyayish? Because that's what the Gemara says. If a guy says, what a loss of money. So he's obviously revealing his intention that he gave up hope. So even if we ultimately hear that he gave up, lo have a yish, says the Gemara, that it's not going to be considered yish to allow the one who found it to hold on and keep that aveda that he found, because when it did come to the hand of the one who found it, it came to his hand prohibitorily. The reason being is because it was something which people don't usually give up hope. Because if you have a simon, a person doesn't usually give up hope. And therefore, since at the moment that he got it, there was an obligation to return it, even if later he's meyayish, it's already too late, he already had the chiyuv of hashava, and he would have to return it. The reason being is because del chayyadu de nafal minei. Because when this guy who lost it would find out that it fell from him, generally, loy meyayish, he would not give up hope. Because meima ama, he would say, simon esli begave. What do you mean? I have an identifying feature in it. I'll give a sign and I'll take it. So therefore, again, so when the guy found it, it was in a situation of a halachic reality of needing to return it. So although after he had found it, then the guy gave up, it's already too late, he already had the chiyuv of hashava, and he would have to return it. That's when there's a simon. Now, actually, the reverse also no one would disagree. Bizutel shel yam. Zuta is a term of when it becomes great, which refers to the high tides of the sea. Because there are times at the edge of the sea, that the way the sea works is that it goes backwards an area of 10 paras or 15 paras, so two times in the day, and then it swallows up whatever is there in the area, or ubishlilase shel nahar, which is shalilase from the term of shail, of robbing, where sometimes at the edges of the river, it goes over onto the banks, and it then swallows in whatever it finds there on the edges of the river. Says the Gemara, in that case, avagav de isbe simen, even in the items that it swallows into the river or to the sea, even if that thing had an identifying feature, there everyone would agree, rachmana sharye, that still the Torah permits the one who finds it, even if the guy who found it before the guy gave up hope, that he would be permitted to keep it. And that is because kidbein lamim lekamon, like we're going to say later on the Gemara, where the Gemara quotes the halacha menayin laveda, from where do we know, by a lost object, shashat fanahar, that the river swallows it up, that a person who finds it could keep it. So those two cases, Abai and Rabbah would not disagree, even if the guy is unaware, that when there is a simen, you can't keep it, and when there is a simen, but the river swallowed up, then you could keep it. So keep pligibin, so when do they disagree? B'davar she'ein by simen, regarding something that does not have an identifying feature. Abai Omer lo have a yish. Abai says, it's not considered yish. Why? He just doesn't know that it fell from him. So therefore, if he doesn't know, so you cannot activate yish to say that, oh, it's hefker. No, when you picked it up, he wasn't meyayish yet. It was still under his ownership. If it's under his ownership, you have an obligation to return it to him. Now, Rava Amar have a yish. But Rava disagrees. Says it is considered as if he gave up hope. Why? Because when he would find out that it fell from him, meyayish, he would give up hope. Because meyamah, he would say, simon alesli begavei, I don't have an identifying feature in it. So therefore, mahashtahu de meyayish, it's actually right now that we consider it that he gave up hope because it fell. And when he would find out, he wouldn't be thinking about it anymore to get it. And therefore, it says Rava, we halachically view it from the moment that really that he drops it. It is intrinsically something that has in it an element of yish, although he doesn't know about it. And therefore, the guy who finds it now found it after yish, although the guy really wasn't meyayish, and therefore he could keep it. Because again, if there was something that, like a simon, where the guy, for sure we assume that he was not meyayish, then of course everyone would agree, you would have to return it to him, even if later he is meyayish. But in somebody that does not have a simon, that's machlek is a bayin rava. Now the Gemara brings simon in the mnemonic of pamgash, mekakdi, kaksaz, which are different proofs, each letter, each ice is regarding another proof regarding this machlek is a bayin rava, if yish lemidas have a yish, or lo have a yish. And the first few proofs are for Rava, not like Abaya, meaning that we'll see that Yish Shalem Edas have a Yish. Tashma, the first proof is from the Halacha of HaMishnah, that's why we introduced this Machlik is Abayin Rava over here, which is the Pei of Pamgash, which is from the Halacha of Peiris Mifuzarin. First case that we discussed, which we said that the person who finds it could keep it, is scattered produce. Now, says the Gemara, Holo Yodid Enafamine. Scattered produce, he doesn't know that it fell from him. He's holding some shopping bag and he's walking on his way home. It just scattered over the floor. The guy finds it and takes it. Now, obviously, you see like Rava, because even though the guy doesn't know about it, but since if he would know, he would give up hope because no identifying feature. So you see that Yish Lemidas have a Yish. The Gemara says, no, Hamar Rav Ukva Bachama, as we already explained in Amar Aleph, here we're not talking about that it was a case that it fell. By the gathering of, by the threshing house, the Aveda Midasi, where that's a lost object with his awareness, because it didn't fall from him. Rather, we said that he intentionally left it over. There's like, I'm not going through that effort of going to collect it. And that's why, of course, it's going to be considered Yish, and hence Hefker, but it's not a case of Shalei Midas, it's actually Yish Midas. So the Gemara attempts another proof from our Mishnah, Toshima, again a proof for Rava from the next case. The Mishnah said that if someone finds scattered coins, so he could keep it. So again, the question is, Amai, why? Not everybody knows that money fell out of his pocket. So if he doesn't know, how could you keep it? If you hold like a baya, the yish shemadash lo have a yish, then you would still have the obligation of returning it. Obviously, you see like Rava, the yish lemadash have a yish. The Gemara says, no, Hasim Nami, there also is called Reb Yitzchak. Same type, there's a svara of Reb Yitzchak, which the Gemara is going to quote later on. Dama that he says, Adam Asi Lemashmish Bekise Bechol Shabasha. It's normal for a person to constantly be touching his wallet, his purse, at every moment of the day, constantly checking their money, as people do with cell phones today. So hachanami adam asa lemashmish bekisa b'kol shav b'shav. So there also a person constantly is touching his wallet at all times, and therefore when the person finds scattered coins on the floor, before he found it, the owner already know that it fell, and they already gave up hope because the guy's always checking his wallet. Can't believe I dropped the coins. So we assume that the guy already had checked and he knew about it, and therefore it's not difficult on a bayit because it's not yish shalei midas, it's already yish midas. So the Gemara attempts another proof for Rava from our Mishnah. Toshima, igule develo, round cakes of pressed figs, and then the fifth case of vikikar shel nachtam, and loaves of bread of the baker. So we said arei l'shalai. We said since it doesn't have an identifying feature, so the guy is for sure mayayish, and therefore the one who finds it could keep it. Now again, amai, the question is why? The guy doesn't yet know that it fell from him. He was shopping, has all his grape juice and everything, and one thing fell out. So he's not going to know maybe until Shabbos comes around. So how could the guy who finds the loaf of bread keep it? Obviously, you see like rubber, the yish lemidas have a yish. So the Gemara says, no, hasam nami, there also, it's not shalemidas. Because agav di yakiri, since a loaf of bread or the round cake of figs is something heavy, made the other who he would know, saying, hey, why is my bag so light? The cake, the figs got lost, and the challah got lost. Therefore, they'll know about it, and therefore, again, it's yish midas and not shalei midas. Therefore, it's not difficult on abaya. Toshima, the Gemara says, come in here. Let's bring a different proof again for Rava from the last case of our Mishnah. It says ulishayni shel argaman, that tongue of purple wool. Harelu shalai. If someone finds it, since it's something very common, there's no simin in it, so someone who finds it could keep it. Now again, the question is vamai, but why? He does know that it fell from him. It's not like money that people are constantly checking. It's not heavy like the loaves of bread to know that it fell. So the guy doesn't know. So how could the guy who keeps it, if you don't say like Rava, the yish lemidas, have a yish? So the Gemara says that hasam nami there also agav de chashivi, since they're very significant, they're valuable. So again, the guy is constantly touching to make sure he has that precious purple wool on him. Like Rabbi Yitzchak, meaning just like by money. A person's always checking to make sure, ooh, do I have my money on me? Did it fold? Did someone take it out of my pocket? So too, the purple wool is the same type of idea, and therefore it's yish midas, not shalei midas. Toshimah, the Gemara says, come in here, another proof for Rava from a braisa. The braisa says, amaitzi mo'is bebati kinesis. If someone finds money in a shul, or babati midrashes, in the study halls, in the bais medrash, ubechol makom sherab mitzuyim sham, or any place that the public are found in, harei l'shaloi, so then the one who finds it could keep it, because the owner really gave up hope from the money, because how's he going to find this coin? There's so many people around over here. Now, the question is, but he doesn't know that it fell from him. Even if he would say, how am I going to find this dollar with so many people? For sure somebody took it. I have no simon. So, but still he doesn't know about it. And that says the Gemara, which was the halacha we quoted before. Amir b'Yitzchak, adam asi l'mashmish b'kisa b'chosha. Now a person constantly checks his wallet at all times, checking the purse, and therefore he knows already that fell from him. Therefore whoever finds it is finding it after yish, and therefore it's not difficult on abaya, because it's not yish l'midas, it's yish midas. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a different raya to Rava from the Mishnah Masechtas Peya. The Mishnah says, me'emesai kol adam mutarm b'lechit. When is it that every single person is permitted to gather the gleanings? I mean, there are certain halachas, what's called matnas aniyim, gifts for the poor. They get ma'isur ani, they get leket shekhra peya, they get many different things that only the poor are allowed to get. Now, on that, the Mishnah there in Masechta Peya qualifies, although that only the poor are allowed to take leket, the gleanings, when let's say one or two stalks fall, three already they can't take, but one or two, it's for the poor. When is it that even any regular person could come ahead and collect the leket? So that says the Mishnah, Misha Yelchu Baha Namushas. When the Namushas, the rummagers already had gone through the field, then already everyone has given up hope of getting it, and therefore it's already Hafker and everyone could take, not just the poor people. Now, Vermina, we said, my Namushas. We said in the explanation of that Mishnah, what are Namushas? What are the rummagers that once they go, everyone gave up and said there's nothing left in this field, and whoever goes now and finds could take even if he's not poor. So one interpretation was of Amr Biechen, he says, Sabi da Azli Atigra. It's the elderly paupers who they go on their cane very slowly and they check every single stalk to find, and that interpretation of Nemushes would be that like from the words we said before, Shememash Mishin, that they touch. They touch and they go, they're touching everything because they go very slowly, they're not missing anything. If the elderly poor people went, everyone's like, forget it, there's no point in going to that field. So now everyone could go ahead because it's Hefker, because everyone gave up hope. He says a different interpretation is likute basta likute. It's they were gatherers, and then after that another phase of gatherers went from the poor people to collect. which that word of nemushes is from the term of removing. Like we find loyomish asefa tarez mepich, you shouldn't remove, meaning that they take and they remove everything from in front of them because already one group went, and then the second group went, two groups already went, then there's nothing left anymore. So either way, everyone already gave up hope from getting anything into this field, so it's half, so anyone could take, not just the poor. Now that the question is, but vamai, if you hold like Abaye that Yush loy midas is not Yush, meaning even if a person would give up hope, but he doesn't know about it, then it's not considered like he gave up hope. So nehida neim dehachmiyayishi, although the poor people in this city, they're giving up hope. In other words, their Yush is midas. They see already that the mushes went, whichever interpretation it is, but they're like, oh, that field, forget it, don't go there because there's nothing left over there. So that we understand why that would be considered hefker, that even the wealthy could go ahead and take now. But ikani in beduch tachriti, but there are paupers in other cities, that they didn't yet give up hope because they don't know anything about the status of the fields in this city. So how could they be permitted? Rather, says the Gemara, must be like Rava, because since had they known they would be miyayish, so it's already yish from the moment when the nemushes go, and that's why it comes permittedly to any other person, even if he's not poor, to go ahead and take the leket at the time. But that proves like Rava that yish lemidas, have a yish. So I think Gemara says, no, Ami, they said, kiven de ikka niyam hacha, since there are poor people in this city, hanach, the poor peoples of the other cities, mi'ikara iyushim iyayishi, because actually to the contrary, from before they even started anything, they really gave up hope. Because Ami, they said, anim dahasa malakti le, the poor people of that city, they're going to gather. So it's not like that they never gave up hope. To the contrary, they actually give up hope before the season starts. Because they know, okay, we'll get the fields in our city, but that city, forget it, the poor people, they're going to take it. And therefore, the only ones that wanted or thought to getting that weren't miyayish are the poor people of that city. Once the mushes go, they're also miyayish, and therefore every yish over there was midas, not shalei midas. So the Masechta Tashma, let's bring a raya from a Mishnah Masechtas Maisrus. The Mishnah says, ketziyais, which refers to figs that were from the word of ketziyah, which they were cut down with a knife, and therefore the juice from them starts dripping out. So they would spread them out in the field to have them dry up. They would dry up the figs in Talmudic times. So if there are these ketziyas baderach, these dried figs on the road, now, moreover, says the Mishnah, afilu betzad sedei ketziyas, even if it's on the side of a field, of where they go ahead and they spread out these figs to dry up. So the one who finds it knows that it's from that field. But so too, v'chein te'ena hanoit l'derech. So too, a fig tree that's leaning over onto the road. U'motza te'en tachteo. And someone finds these figs underneath. Even so, that we know that that came from the fig tree and we know that these ketzias came from that field. Still says the Mishnah, mutaris mishum gezel. There's no halachic problem about theft. Because even though that when it fell, and that this is going to be the point that it seemingly supports Rava, even though that when it fell, the guy didn't know about it, but if he had known that it fell, he would give up hope. So right now, it's considered Yush, which that sounds like Rava. And Ubaturis Ibn HaMaiser, but ultimately, if the guy's Meyayish, so therefore there's no halachic problem about theft, because it's permitted. And Ubaturis Ibn HaMaiser, it's also exempt from the halacha of Meiser, like anything of Hefker, because Hefker is part from Meiser. And here we said this is considered Hefker, because the guy really gave up. He said, oh, my dried fig rolled out into the street, or it fell off the tree. He gives up hope, so whoever finds it in the road could take it. Now, however, says the Mishnah, b'zeisim u'becharuvim aser, but in the case of olives or caribs, then, if it falls off the tree, then it's forbidden, which sounds like a baya, because the guy doesn't know about it. He doesn't expect those types of things to fall off. That sounds like a baya that yishu lemidas loy have a yish. So that's what the Gemara explains. Bishlem reishla abaya loy kasha. It's very well understood that we could explain this Mishnah according to Abaya, because the difficult part for him was the reisha. On that we could say that no, actually, those figs he knew from originally about its status, and he gave up hope. Why? Because as the Gemara explains, agav de chashivi, since these ketziyas, these figs that they would use to dry up, since they're significant, so memash mishbuhu. So he's constantly checking them and touching them. And therefore, when it rolls out into the street, he already knows about it, and therefore he already gave up hope on it. So to Te'inanami, so to the fig tree, made the idea de Nastra. He knows that it's the type of tree that they fall down. So in the beginning, he thinks, whatever's going to fall off the tree, I have no plan of getting it, and therefore he's mafkrit. So there it's Yish Midas. So again, that's why it's not difficult on Abaya, why it's going to be considered Yish, and the one who finds it could take it. In contrast to the olive tree and the carob tree, which they don't usually fall off, that's why it's going to be us, because it's Yish Lay Midas, exactly like Abaya. Ela Seifa la Rava Kasha, but the Seifa, according to Rava, is difficult. I mean, the Reisha works for him because he's going to say, yeah, it's even Yish Leimadas, but it's Yish. But the Seifa is difficult because the Ketani, we learned that it says, Bezesim Ubacharuva Maser. By the carob tree, the olive tree, it's going to be forbidden. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is because they don't usually fall off the tree by the olives and by the carobs. And therefore, you can't say that he knew that it's going to fall, that he would be Meyash already beforehand. So therefore we see that even though it's something that had it fell, he would be Miyayish, just like seemingly by the fig tree, still it's not going to be considered Yish right now, seemingly because like Abaya, because Yish Alei Medas is Lo Haba Yish. So that Amar Bavo, he says, no, Shani Zayas, the olive tree is different, so to the carob, because its form is recognizable from where it came from. Because the way it looks of the olive on the floor, you could go ahead and compare it, and you could see that on the tree it looks the same thing too. And therefore, the avagav d'nasrin zesi, even though actually that no olive trees actually do fall down, but made the where it's no different than fig trees, but made the idea, but they're recognizable. That duchto de inish inishu, that the place of a person is the person. I mean, this concept that you could tell where something came from. So therefore, the owner, when he knows that it fell, he's actually not going to be miyayish, because he's going to say, wait a second, everybody knows that this is from my olive tree, from my carob tree, and therefore it's not hefker, and people are not going to take it again, as we said, because they look the same as they're on the floor as on the tree. So therefore, that's why it's going to be us, even according to Rava, because it's not even Yish Leimadas. Actually, even if he knows about it, there's no Yish, because he knows people know that it's from his tree, and therefore they're going to give it to him, they're not going to take it, and therefore he's not Miyayish. Now that thing, we're asking, but if that's the case, that you say that the fruit on the tree looks like the same as on the floor, that's why you say that the olives is not Miyayish, because people are going to know it came from his tree, but then Afila Reisha Nami, then even by the fig tree, why don't you say the same thing too? Why shouldn't you say that even when he knows about it, he's not going to be Miyayish, because it looks the same as on the tree, and therefore there should also be Aser. So that Amar Papa says no, because Te'ena, that's for a different reason. Not as we had set up until now, because he knows it's going to fall, and therefore he gives up hope. It's because Te'ena im nefilosinim eses, a fig, as it falls, it gets spoiled, it gets ruined. It splats on the floor. Now therefore, since he knows that it's going to fall, so from the beginning he's already Miyayish, because it's going to get disgusted. Now, because when it falls, it's not something significant anymore, it's not worth it for him, and therefore he's Mafkir. That's why that's the difference between the Te'enim and the Zesim. So therefore, that's why it's not difficult according to Rava, because it's not being based on the principles of Yish Lemidas. It's just because the olive tree, even if he knows he's not going to give up hope, because everyone knows it's from his tree, whereas by the fig, that's for a different reason that it's going to be hefker and someone could take it and there's no problem about Gezel, because he's miyayish from before it even happens, nothing to do with Yish Lemidas. In the beginning, the guy gives up hope, he says, whatever falls is not worth it for me because it gets ruined, and that's why it's mutter. So the Gemara continues to attempt to bring a raya regarding this machlokes. Toshima, let's bring a raya to Rava that Yish Lemidas have a Yish. The Braisa says, Haganev shenotl mizeh v'nosn lezeh. A thief, who is someone that does it clandestinely, steals, he takes from one person and gives it to another person. Or let's say v'chein gazlan. A gazlan is a robber who goes straight up to a person and grabs it away from him. Shenotl mizeh v'nosn lezeh. It takes from one person and gives it to another person. So too, as we continue to talk about v'chein yardin, so to the Jordan River, which Rashi points out this anyway would apply to other rivers. It's just that the town of this Braisa lived there by the edge of the Jordan River. Shenotl mizeh v'nosn lezeh, where the river took from one person, took it downstream and brought it to another person. Says the Braisa, Masha notl notl, what it took, Umasha nosn nosn, and what it gave, meaning the one who gets it, from a robber, from a thief, from the river, could keep what he got. Now that the Gemara asks, Bishle megazlan v'yard, and we understand very well regarding a robber and the Jordan River, the kochazi lehu, the one that it was stolen from, either by a river or by a robber, he sees the guy grabbing it away from him, or the river, oh my gosh, he gives up hope, ha, down the river, I'm never going to get it. This robber, I'm never going to get it back from him. So that's Yish Midas. Eleganav mikochazi leidim miyayish, but by a thief does he see that he should be miyayish? He has no clue. It was some guy in the middle of the night came and stole something. He's going to find out 3 months later when he needs that thing that it's gone. So how could the guy who gets it from the ganav keep it if it's yish lemidas, seemingly like rava that have a yish? But the Gemara answers, Tigmar Apapa, he interprets that what's this case of ganav? It's talking about ballistim mizuyin, talking about armed bandits, where they forcibly take it from a person, and therefore originally the guy knows and he's miyayish. Now, although it's a case of ganav, list of mezuyim, they hide, but then they attack. So they're called ganavim, but on that element, they're like gazlan, where the guy finds out about it. Now, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, hainu gazlan, that's the same as the other case. We already said gazlan, then we said ganav. But if it's the same thing, then why are we saying Ganav is listed Mezuyin. So the Gemara, Trey Gavni Gazlan, you're right, they're both Gazlan, they're both outright robbers, but it was giving two different cases. One is by a regular robber, and one is a guy who hides, but, so therefore it's called a Ganav, but it's still armed bandits where they forcibly take it, so the guy knows about it, and therefore it's going to be Yish Midas, and there's no Raya to Rava that Yish Shalom Midas have a Yish, because actually a case of Yish Midas.